Lord's help this evening, I will ask your attention to the 89th to 91st verses in the 119th Psalm. Psalm 119, verses 89, 90 and 91. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations, for thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. What an inconceivable consideration is the being of God. Forever, O Lord. Forever, O Lord. The eternal God. From everlasting to everlasting. Unchangeably the same. Forever, O Lord. Now such a God we need. None less would suffice. We need an eternal God. And the psalmist goes on and he says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word of God, or the decree of God, is firm, it's strong, it's sure, it's durable. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Beyond the reach of change, the word of God stands. The decree of God is settled with God forever. Now, amidst all the changes that affect this present state in which we are in, how wonderful to feel that we have in God and his word the unchangeable. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And my friends, the word that the Lord has spoken is an immutable word, a word that knows no change forever and forever. What a mercy that we can take our Bibles in our hands and say, God will be faithful to this word forever and forever. And whatever change comes to the world, whatever change comes to us, the word liveth and abideth forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, thy faithfulness is unto all generation. Now in God's decree there is a complete coverage, and the coverage extends to all generations. God's faithfulness to all generations is essential to all generations. If you could think of certain things changing, what confusion there would be. God has established the world upon certain principles that are essential to the functioning of the universe. And if those things could change, then the world would disintegrate. The world would be lost in confusion. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. And my friends, we can forecast the moment the sun will rise and the moment the sun will set upon any day. We can give the seasons of the moon with some exactitude, because God has decreed those things which affect the heavens above us. We have the stars in their place and the planets fulfilling their function, all working together and working out the decrees of the Most High. They were made by Him. He settled before creation their position, their function, and in the 6 days His word brought all those decrees associating with creation into existence. And they have continued through the generations, according to the divine purpose and decree, down to the present moment of time. The faithfulness of God. His power upholds the universe, and He works upon certain sound principles which govern and control the movement of matter and of men. Now, they continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. When we think that everything that is God ordained its use, its function, from eternity, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God gave to the sea His decree. God created every living creature. God has ordained in His creative wisdom the length of life, the purpose in life of all things great and small. And my friends, in this consideration, we have a wonderful ministry, because the ordering of God in the universe is essential to the smooth running cohesion of the world. And really, the fact that the world functions as well as it does depends upon the ordinances of God. that have been established and have been maintained down to this present day. If we can just cast our minds or our imaginations for a moment to the consequence of a sudden lurch in the pattern of days, what an effect such a development would have upon everything. The season, they're all ordained by God. Summer and winter, cold and heat, shall not fail. Seed time and harvest, God says to Noah, assure. And we live in expectation of the faithfulness of God to the word that he has spoken as we continue together in this world in which we are at present living. And my friends, those that do not believe in God depend upon God's faithfulness in all these things which concern them and which maintain them and direct them in their course through life. But how wonderful if you and I, through faith, have an appreciation of the greatness of God who has ordained these things, decreed these things, and in faithfulness maintained these things down to the present day, and will so do to all generations. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Now do you see the way in which the Holy Spirit led the mind of the psalmist to a consideration of his situation in the earth, his dependence upon God, and the dependence of all upon the Creator, who has ordained and decreed certain principles which affect the world's revolving and world's continuance as the world abideth to all generations. And my friends, we come to that word, do we not? They continue this day according to thine ordinances. And we have witnessed the ordinances of God as we've passed through this very day in which we're meeting together. And now we're in the evening of the day, and we expect in a short while the night to come upon us according to God's decree. And our life is regulated to some great degree by these unseen yet controlled decrees of God, which rule and overrule the workings of all things. All are thy servants. Well, there is the principle upon which the mind of the psalmist was directed under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to record in those few verses that which reveals to us, as it were, the background of so many things affecting many, affecting all, but appreciated by so very few. May God give us an appreciation of these things as we live day by day. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. But we would consider the decree of God, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, God is a God of order, essentially so. Creation bears witness to the perfection of divine ordering. God is not the author of confusion. Man creates confusion when he leaves God's order, when he chooses his own way before the ways of the Most High. And every deviation from God's order is disorderly, and it will lead to confusion. My friends, the wisdom of man is to conform to the decrees of God, because God, that has created everything, knows the suitable function of everything, and as everything works together according to the decrees of God, so it proceeds orderly in a balanced, cohesive way and manner. And you know, as I know, in the days in which we're living, the progressive confusion that is settling up in society when we're choosing our own ways before the ways of God, departing from God's word, and society is threatening disintegration before our very eyes in consequence. Let us by faith lay hold of this principle that our peace depends upon our conformity to the decrees and commandments of God. And that applies to natural things, and that applies to spiritual things. That applies to the things which concern us in our relationships together. That applies also in our relationships with God. And in this 119th Psalm, the principle is so often reiterated in the many references to God's word. I know various expressions are used, thy precepts, thy commandments, thy statutes, thy judgments, thy law, and so on, but basically it is the decree of God, the word of God, that the psalmist stresses as the foundational consideration peace and prosperity in society. Well now, thy forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. What a mercy that God's word is not confined to temporal consideration. What a mercy that the decrees of God do not comprehend our present requirements without any consideration of our spiritual and eternal requirements. And My friends, when we read a word like this, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven," we realize God has decreed salvation. God has decreed redemption. God has decreed that from every generation, as well as every nation, kindred, and tongue, a people shall be called to love him, to serve him, to follow him, and at length to be with him forever. Now, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God's decree. It is the same word that has saved, that does save, that will continue to save. The word of God. Peter, in his epistle, has something to say on this subject. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Verse 23 in chapter 1 of the first epistle of Peter. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Thy word forever is settled in heaven." Incorruptible seed. Not man's opinion. It's not man's purpose. It is the decree of God. And God has spoken. And in the word of God, there is a power to regeneration. And my friends, it needs God to speak to regenerate. Thy word alone can make a dead soul live. All my words as a preacher will never make one dead soul live. I'm firm on that. Absolutely sure on that. That I can preach 7 days a week and never quicken a soul. It's the prerogative of God, the Holy Ghost, to regenerate. Now, the knowledge that the Lord does and has decreed so to do, to regenerate through the preaching of the word, impels us. You are set apart by God as preachers to preach. And my friends, we know that as God sovereignly sees fit to use his word through any of his servants whom he sees fit condescendingly to use, a soul will be born to live forever. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And the word does it. The word does it. The word of God. And my friends, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." When the Lord's time comes, when the Lord's decree finds its fulfillment, I say, the effectual call is given. and that soul sleeping in the tomb of self-destruction, if left of God, is brought forth to life forever through the word and work of God the Holy Ghost. And that is a settled decree that's been operating and working from the very beginning. Abel needed that decree to distinguish him from Cain. Jacob needed that decree to distinguish him from Esau. Moses needed that decree to distinguish him from Pharaoh, king of Egypt. My friends, you can go down between the saved and the lost, generation by generation, and what has unfolded in the history of the Church of God. This, that God has fulfilled his decree. His word has found gracious expression in the hearts and lives of those foreordained to everlasting life, elected to be with God and like God forever. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And my friends, we may, in our finite approach to these great concerns, we may say, well, if I had have been born in certain other circumstances, my spiritual condition may not been now what I believe, thank God it is. Well, those are very reasonable considerations from the measure of a finite mind, but my friend, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God foreknew, God foreordained, God decreed before the foundation of the world the things which concern not only creation, but redemption and salvation. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. God has promised that from all generations a seed shall be brought forth to serve. And my friend, it matters not what happens to the world, however the ravages of sin and Satan, as it were, take into captivity the universe, a seed shall serve him. From all generations, a people shall be brought forth to the praise of the Most High, and God, fulfilling his decree, will perform it, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. We say, well, we live in a degenerating day and a degenerating society, and the world seems to be groaning and crumbling under the influence and effect of sin, but my friends, there'll be a people to the end of time. God's faithfulness will accomplish his established decree. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, and as sure as God's decree finds its fulfillment to the accomplishment of his purposes in creation, so God's purposes to salvation will be perfected according to his faithfulness and his power. So in the church, we see the outworking of a very wonderful principle. Well then, thirdly this evening, here is a principle which is very precious to the individual. There's nothing haphazard about the security and safety of the saint. I believe there's a great distinction between the fact of salvation and the enjoyment of salvation. The fact of salvation is settled. It's settled. God knows his people. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Knows them in their unregenerate. He knows them, whatever may be the determinate purpose of their hearts against him, he knows them. And at length, as I already suggested, in general terms, the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but to call by grace, an effectual and irresistible call by the Most High God. And my friends, let none that are called who can put up such a resistance as to frustrate God in the fulfillment of his purpose to salvation. However, a person may fight against the initial influences of the Spirit in conviction upon their heart and conscience, God will bring them to his feet. Nothing in them will prevail to the contrary. Fight against God as a person will. They're fighting a losing battle because God never lost a soul whom he has chosen yet, and he never will. But having said, salvation is sure, salvation is settled. There's no question about any chosen soul being lost. I do establish the distinction between the fact of salvation and the enjoyment of salvation. The enjoyment of salvation is to be realized in the spirit of submission and obedience to the sovereign, gracious will of God. You know, naturally speaking, if you're going to enjoy the approbation, the smile, the good pleasure of your parent, it's by no means your purpose to resist, disobey, thwart their expressed wishes. And my friends, that principle holds in its spiritual application and in its relationship with God. obedient souls enjoy the favour of God. Disobedient souls experience God's power. I say there's a distinction between the fact of salvation and the enjoyment of salvation. And you'll never enjoy salvation until you're brought into humble and contrite and willing submission to the mind and will of God. This does not allow the conclusion that souls in darkness are essentially lost. And many of the fears of those that are in darkness is not because there is any question about their salvation. It's more in regard to their reaction to the revelation of God's mind toward. I want you to consider that prayerfully. But God's decree stands. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. God is faithful to promise. And his faithfulness is in matters of salvation according to the decrees and testimonies of his mind in his word are absolute. They are sure. They are firm. They are not questionable as to their fulfillment. We may cast our souls without question and reserve upon the word and promise of God, because God is faithful to all generations. The times in which we're living in no wise inhibit the fulfillment of the word of God that has been verified in the experiences of past generations. God is the same to endless years. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. And as we see the world continuing upon certain principles, so we can see the church continuing upon certain principles. And my friends, that is the mind of God. And that is what the church should ever be seeking for, the mind of God. And the mind of God in every way needful for us is revealed to us in the word of God. Therefore, it serves the scriptures. Therefore, it's to the law and to the testimony. What a mercy it is to have a reference to refer to which is stable, which is unchangeable, which is sure, which is absolute of substantiation and confirmation in the experience as God works according to his decrees and established principles in all generations. It doesn't allow for the differing approach and changed attitudes to a changed situation. Does it? It doesn't mean to say that I propound a rigidity that has no reference at all to the changes which God has ordained in the outworkings of society. And there's a section in America that refused to, or publicly refused to use motor cars and still drive around in horses and carriages because they consider God has decreed that the horse is the motivating principle upon which society should function. Now, I say that is ridiculous. That is making the things of God to be despised. Nevertheless, I do stand firm upon this principle that God works now as he did work. He uses his word. He uses the preaching of the gospel. He uses the gathering together of his people. He uses the ordinances of his house. He uses the teaching of his word. And my friends, all sorts of other things have their place and they are adopted and being employed as essential to the salvation of souls in modern times. I say, while we appreciate the need of the consideration of the environment in which we live, yet when we come to salvation, salvation is of the Lord. And the way God has saved souls, he does save souls and will save souls. And we cannot wander from the ordinances and commandments of God and expect success in matters of salvation, because God has decreed from eternity the methods that he will employ, and it has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, the time has gone this evening. I hope sufficient has been said in these somewhat rambling remarks to convey the impression to your minds that there are decrees, divine, sovereign decrees of God which concern material things, temporal things, and God's working, and the change of the world hasn't altered the decrees which are the framework in which everything has and continues to function. And my friends, in spiritual things, I say there is a solid framework. There's a solid framework in which God has determined to function in the fulfillment of his purposes to salvation. And there's no advantage to be gained by deviation. For what does God say through his servant Job? He is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, even that he doeth. You won't bend God to your way. God must bring you to submit to his way, and then you can look for prosperity, for fruitfulness. May the Lord bend our mind and will to his glory. Bless thee, O Lord, that the written and the incarnate word in all things are the same. We would look to that blessed incarnate word for our salvation, for our righteousness, for our final presentation without fault before the throne on high. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, and pardon all that has been amiss. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.